Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hey folks, you're listening to 2 Men and the Mouse, episode 281, recorded live on the YDF Media Network on April the 26th, 2024. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hey, Kev.
Hey, Pete. What's going on?
Not much. You?
It's been a whirlwind couple of weeks, but we are back now. And folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. We want to share that magic with you, so pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
All right, so I am back from my Disney trip, and then...
Yes, you are.
Yeah, and then when I got back, I had to, you know, finish a book, so that took up a lot of time, so apologies for no show last week, but we are, you know, we're here this week, and we've got a trip report, and it's my trip report for, like, the first time ever of doing a Walt Disney World trip report.
I love that.
Yeah, usually my trip reports are, you know, cruise line and stuff like that. So, you know, but this was a pretty, you know, pretty sizable staycation. We, you know, it was a Friday to a Monday. It we did a lot. You know, we did a lot, but we did it. It's going to be a different kind of trip report because we didn't go like crazy with the parks. Like, honestly, I even remember saying to Rachel at one point, I'm like, I don't care if we even go to the parks. Like we're at the parks all the time. The resort is the thing, like the resort's the thing that's unique right now. And so like, that's kind of the thing that I want to explore more, but we did go to the parks quite a bit. All right. You ready to hop into the news this week?
I am.
The news brought to you by our good friends over at Away With Me Travel, who will plan your Disney and Universal vacation at no additional cost to you. All right. Worldwide news. Disney has launched a My Disney single sign-on. To log into all of your Disney devices and or services, I mean.
Haven't they been trying to do this for like 2 years? I feel like I kind of have it.
The unified login system has launched officially on April the 16th. It aims to simplify the user experience by eliminating the need to manage different passwords for various Disney-related accounts, such as Disney+, Hulu, ABC, ESPN, and your Disney theme park My Disney Experience app. When you log in using your personal account information, you will now see the same My Disney login prompt everywhere you go, asking for the same email and password, creating a more seamless login experience. According to AJ Arora, SVP of Commerce Growth and Identity for Disney Entertainment and ESPN, this technological upgrade will streamline consumer access and enhance the user experience across Disney's digital platforms. So there you go. A little bit easier to log into all of your Disney services now.
Okay, cool.
The worldwide news. Disney has launched the... I'm sorry, that was what we just did. Resort news. Victoria and Albert's has received a Michelin star.
Saw this. My son was very excited about this.
This is very... I believe this is probably Disney's first Michelin star.
It is.
Restaurant. Yeah, so it's a 2024 Michelin star. Michelin says, quote, "Nestled within Disney's crown jewel, the Grand Floridian Resort, this restaurant is by no means an easy reservation, but the reward is a kind of magic rarely seen these days. The setting is intimate, and the pacing is that of a leisurely three-hour waltz orchestrated by a gracious brigade of veteran servers. Chef Matthew Sowers cooks with contemporary verve and draws on influences spanning from Asia to the Nordics. Think delicate tarts set with New Zealand langoustine, striking sandwich made with venison carpaccio and red cabbage." Wait, they give you sandwiches there? Victoria and Albert's is serving you up sandwiches? I mean, look, sandwiches are my favorite food, but I'm assuming that's what sandwich means. But I believe it's like a pretentious sandwich. It's like a PB&J with a top hat on it.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. And bold sauces like cherry cola bordelaise. Wait, they're giving me cherry coke sauce on things?
Sounds great. I just can't believe they won a Michelin star.
Other details like waterless and ornate coffee and tea service and a serious wine program further impress. A Michelin star, Peter Mandel, is awarded to restaurants offering outstanding cooking. Michelin takes into account five universal criteria. They are as follows. The quality of the ingredients, the harmony of the flavors, O-U-R-S, by the way, the mastery of techniques, the personality of the chef as expressed through their cuisine, and consistency both across the entire menu and over time. This is ridiculous.
Let me just say that, you know, I love cooking shows and, you know, Michelin star. Like, I did not know until like a little while ago that Michelin stars were actually Michelin, like the tire company.
I'm the same.
So when I see, it's still funny to me when I see the award ceremony and the Michelin man's out there.
I'm looking at it right now. It's weird.
And you're like, wow, okay.
It's like, they're talking about things like the personality of the chef is expressed through the cuisine, both in cuisine and consistency, both across the entire menu and over time. And it's the Michelin man and like the tires that I have on my car. I have Michelin tires on my car.
At the same time, there's a meet and greet going on the stage with a character of the Michelin man.
That looks like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I never put it together either. And we were watching Gordon Ramsay. And there was something about Michelin stars. And I had just, you know, I was thinking about my tires and I was like, oh, Michelin like my tires, like it's a joke. And Rachel was like, no, that is. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
So dining at Victoria and Albert's at Walt Disney World is known for being a high end, luxurious experience. And the cost reflects that. Prices can vary depending on the dining option you choose. Now, the dining room prefix menu costs around $295 per person, not including tax and gratuity. And the Queen Victoria room, the more intimate experience, is priced at $375 per person. Have you ever done this?
I've not. My son wants to do it in the worst way. I cannot figure out a way to justify the money ever.
I cannot figure out how you can justify that much money for dinner.
Yep.
For just your dinner. Like, especially for you guys as a family of four. Like,
I know.
No. Not for me. Okay, so Magic Kingdom news. The Frontierland station entrance has moved with the construction for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. The entrance has shifted back to its previous location as work begins to wrap up on Tiana's Bayou Adventure, set to open this summer. Since January 2024, the entrance to the Frontierland Railroad Station has been moved to a newly constructed stairway on the left side of the building. After this week, the entrance is back to its original location on the far right, with the new stairway serving as the exit from the station. So I rode the train recently from that station. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. It is, it's going to be interesting over there to see how things go and, you know, what the experience is like and how it's different over there now that it's, TBA, Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Permits have been filed for new set elements for the brand new Country Bear Jamboree.
Okay.
Set elements. So the permit carries the description of install set elements and piping and is assigned to Thermetics Corporation, which specializes in HVAC and chillers. Work is also underway on the exterior of Grizzly Hall with the attraction marquee now behind wraps to be updated with the show's revised name. Looking ahead to the new show, which opens in the summer of 2024, Disney says the Country Bears are getting ready to put on a new show that pays homage to the Opry-style shows of Nashville. While the Country Bear Musical Jamboree will include Easter eggs from the beginning to the end, including a familiar tune fans may remember, the Bears will sing new reinterpreted Disney tunes in different genres of country music, like bluegrass, pop country, Americana, rockabilly, and other styles. Now, obviously, the familiar tune that fans may recognize is got to be none other than Mama Don't Whoop Little Buford. Right?
Right. No, got to be happening.
Yeah, it's or All the Men That Turn Me On, Turn Me Down. No, it's got to be Blood on a Saddle. Like, there's no way they're not going to do Blood on a Saddle.
Yeah, it's got to be there.
Okay, so new gift shops have been unveiled for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Did you see this?
I did.
Yeah, so Disney has shared a first look at two new retail locations coming to Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom. First up is the Critter Co-op, which takes over the former Briar Patch, which has not been open in years and years and years and years and years.
Right.
And Tiana's Bayou General is located at the exit from the ride. So it's just so funny when Disney tries to say that something's a co-op, because it's like that's the last thing Disney would ever do is like the ultimate for profit company is right. have a co-op.
Right.
Lord. Because it's funny because they have the co-op in Disney Springs also, which, you know, it's not also not really a co-op. But, you know, I think it works in an alliteration. They were like, we need an alliteration for the word critter. So it looks like one of the stores is going to be Tiana's store, and the other one is going to be run by all the critters who we have been, you know, going through their backstories and origins throughout the last couple of episodes. Smellophants have been installed in the Magic Kingdom because they are on parade currently. These Smellophants. This Smellophants on Parade installation continues this week at Storybook Circus in the Magic Kingdom with more statues in position and the return of the ticket booth over by Dumbo. So, yeah, I'm looking at these Smellophant statues. They actually are pretty cool. There are a total of three Smellophants in position in the updated ticket booth, which will serve as the starting point of the experience, is now back in place at the top of Big Top Souvenirs. I thought it was the one at Dumbo, but it's the one at Big Top Souvenirs. So when the new experience opens in May 2024, guests entering Storybook Circus will find a casting call from Timothy Q. Mouse seeking out a whiff assistant to join Dumbo's newest act. At the ticket booth in front of Big Top Souvenirs, cast members will provide a map and sticker sheet to guide guests in their training. Whiff assistants in training will explore Storybook Circus to find 8 Smellophant statues, each with a unique circus-inspired fragrance, like elephant dung.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are the circus-inspired fragrances?
I could not venture again. Like, every smell I've ever smelled at a circus has been terrible.
Like, right, I can't imagine what it could be.
It's like all poop. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's like a brown elephant, and it's like, this is authentic. Oh, God. And this is inspired by Scentsy. Like, Scentsy wants you to know. So we were at... I remember this county fair in the Poconos years ago when I was a kid, and they had like a big cat show, which I don't remember much about it. It was probably incredibly inhumane. But like the holding area for like the lions and stuff like that was like over on the side, and like we were sitting by it, and the male lion just kind of turned, raised his tail, and just ripped gas. And it, I've never seen it, like, it cleared out the entire area. People were, like, running.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, so Epcot news. Dates have been announced for the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival 2024, and I'm beyond shocked.
Okay.
All right, have you heard anything about this yet?
No.
Oh, I'm excited to be the one to break this to you. The 2024 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, presented by Corksicle, will be taking place at Walt Disney World August 29th through November 23rd.
Wow.
Yeah, we are back to normal.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Notably shorter than last year's. Last year started July 27th and ran through November the 18th. So... They have drastically cut this down by over a month. So here are some of the early details of what to look forward to at this year's festival, besides the shorter festival. Though I've heard a lot of people are like ticked that booked summer vacations like specifically for food and wine.
Yeah.
Because apparently they're not putting like a new festival in there. It's just going to be a no festival summer.
Yeah. I mean, if they're putting a new festival in there, it would have to be announced already.
Yeah. The global marketplaces, returning favorites of the global marketplaces include Belgian waffles with berry compote and whipped cream, or warm chocolate ganache at the Belgium Global Marketplace. Apple strudel with vanilla sauce at Germany, and the Alps will feature dark chocolate fondue with berries, pound cake, and meringues. Emile's Fromage Montage will also be returning in 2024. This food stroll encourages guests to sample a variety of delicious cheeses served in inventive ways. Purchase any 5 cheese dishes from the official global marketplace list in your festival passport, and make sure to collect a stamp for each dish purchased. Once you've collected all 5 stamps, bring the passport to a specific location for a specialty unique item to enjoy. Usually this is some kind of milkshake or, you know, ice cream or something. It usually comes in like a souvenir cup. Merch. We've gotten a sneak peek at some of the merch available during this year's Food and Wine Festival. You know, there's a Figment Food and Wine Loungefly backpack. There's a Figment, like thermos, I guess you'd call it. There's like some Remy stuff, a bunch of like kitchen things. Communicore Hall, though, will be the big thing this year. New at this year's festival, Communicore Hall will open on June 10th in the Heart of World Celebration. Disney says that once the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival begins, the new space will add exciting, fresh elements to the festival. Stay tuned for more. I think this is the reason why it's shorter. It has something to do with that. It has something to do with Communicore Hall. Like, maybe that part of it, like, the festival area is not going to be done yet.
Makes sense.
So, yeah. So, now that's the question. Are they going to open Communicore Hall unfinished?
Huh.
I think they might. I think that might be that might be the reason here. Eat to the Beat concerts. As evening falls, chart-topping musical acts and Orlando's top talent will take to the stage. As with chart-topping musical acts like Tiffany. Like...
Come on, she was big.
Not now. All right. So it'll be the Eat to the Beat concert series presented by Florida Blue. Performances will take place nightly in the America Gardens Theater. Eat to the Beat dining packages will also return, ensuring you get the seat for your favorite acts. More details to come. And there'll be scavenger hunts that guests can purchase a map while supplies last for Remy's Ratatouille Hide and Squeak, and search to find your favorite little chef hidden throughout World Showcase. So there you go, the Food and Wine Festival of 2024. We are going to have a no festival summer as Communicore Hall opens on the 10th of June. This is interesting. This is really interesting.
Yeah, it's something.
Like, we've been saying for so long that, like, Food and Wine is just too darn long. Like, it takes up too much time. But now I'd much rather prefer to see, like, another festival come in during the summer. I don't know. Like, I don't like no festival Epcot.
I'm okay with it.
The Epcot Parking Plaza is also getting a refurbishment, an ongoing refurbishment.
Okay.
Yeah. So earlier this year, it had a new marquee added. It was last year that the marquee was added. But now the individual toll kiosks are being replaced by new models following the same design as the kiosks added to the new parking entrance at Hollywood Studios. Manufactured by BIG Enterprises, the new kiosks have a more elegant exterior, concealed HVAC units, and a more modern appearance. So we'll change to the toll booth as you enter into Epcot. There's a new annual pass holder magnet coming this summer, and it is going to be Stitch.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Stitch one. The next free Walt Disney World annual pass holder magnet will feature Stitch and will be available for pickup at Epcot from May 1st through June 26th, a.k.a. 626. Pickup location will be the Creation Shop in Epcot. Remember they used to mail these out to all the annual pass holders? To enter Epcot, annual pass holders must have a valid admission. Theme park reservations are limited and subject to availability. Each pass holder must be present and show their valid AP card, linked Magic Band, Magic Band Plus, or Disney Magic Mobile Pass, as well as a government-issued photo ID. Limit one magnet per pass holder and available while supplies last. Now, you know what? I think that might be a little outdated because we, to get our annual pass holder discount, we tried to give one of our AP cards when we were there, and they were like, you have to show it to us on the phone.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that. They were like, we don't take the cards anymore. But then some places took the card. So I don't know if it was just that one place or if they're slowly rolling that out. Yeah, it
sounds like Disney, though. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. A limited time Stitch dessert is coming to Epcot, but only for annual pass holders. I guess to tie in with this magnet, we're getting a specialty dessert. From May 1st to June 26th, you can indulge in the Stitch Cake Cone, a dessert inspired by the beloved Disney character. The special offering will be available at Sunshine Seasons in the Land Pavilion during the VI Pass Holder Days event, which we will talk about momentarily. The Stitch Cake Cone combines vanilla chiffon cake's light, fluffy texture with a rich coconut buttercream and is topped off with mango crisp pearls. Coconut and mango. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's very tropical. I mean, it works for Stitch, you know, Hawaii and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a pass holder lounge is coming to Epcot for VI Pass Holder Days. That is something that they did last year as well. Disney has announced details of the 2024 Summer VI Passholder Days at Walt Disney World, offering exclusive benefits to APs, including access to a new Passholder Lounge at Epcot located in the restaurant Marrakesh within the Morocco Pavilion, along with a 20% discount on purchases at DisneyStore.com. So they moved the lounge this year. Relax in the comfort of this new Passholder exclusive lounge at Epcot for a limited time. It's available as part of VI Passholder Days. Dates and time, May 1st to June 18th. from noon to 8 p.m. daily. Location at Restaurant Marrakesh in the Morocco Pavilion. Hours of operation are subject to change. This one looks like it is actually indoors and okay. air-conditioned, which is a change from, you know, well, last year was indoors too, but it was like in the middle of sunshine seasons, basically. It's like this little right. side area. Exclusive to annual pass holders, the pass holder lounge is a great place to unwind. You can chill out in an air-conditioned area, enjoy complimentary snacks and water, charge your mobile devices, pick up a complimentary pass holder button, and plus special friends may stop by to say hello. I don't know who those okay. friends might be. It might be like the janitor. Because, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure they'll have some characters rolling out in there, but. Okay, so, which means that it better not be an open air area like it was last year, like in Sunshine Seasons, because kids will see it from outside the Passholder Lounge and not be able to get in.
Yep.
Okay, so moving along. No Animal Kingdom news this week, but we do have some Hollywood Studios news. Disney will hold a virtual queue for merchandise for the 35th anniversary of Hollywood Studios coming on May 1st. Fans can look forward to an exclusive merchandise event in addition to the already announced 35th anniversary celebration moment. On May 1st, 2024, guests will have a unique opportunity to purchase limited edition 35th anniversary apparel, collectibles, and pins specially designed to commemorate the milestone. This event will be hosted at the Stage One Company store on Grand Avenue near Muppet Vision 3D, aka the Muppet Store, which has been closed since COVID.
Yeah.
Disney has announced it will use a virtual queue system to manage demand and ensure a smooth shopping experience. Guests interested in participating in the event must have a valid theme park admission and, if necessary, a theme park reservation for Hollywood Studios. The virtual queue will open at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the event day, allowing guests to join remotely without needing to be physically present at the park in the early morning. So there you go. Payment policy has changed for Savi's workshop, aka the lightsaber shop in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
And Droid Depot.
Okay. Star Wars fans looking to build their own custom lightsaber at Savi's workshop at Hollywood Studios will now be required to pay the full amount at the time of booking. This change marks a departure from the previous policy where payment was due upon arrival at the location. Savi's Workshop in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge offers an immersive experience where fans can stream. We know what Savi's Workshop is. Thank you. So what do you think about that? You got to pay when you book now.
Well, I mean, you definitely got to plan ahead. If you're dropping, you know, with tax $270-something,
yeah.
You know, you definitely got to think about it when you're booking it. I've never canceled, so, I mean, it wouldn't affect me, right? I guess it's just when you pay.
Yeah.
But they must just have a lot of no-shows. I mean, this isn't a dinner reservation where they're going to charge you $10. I mean, supposedly they charge you the full amount, which you and I know that they don't do. I mean,
right.
They cannot charge you $250 because you didn't show up. Mm-hmm. So they probably don't do it at all. But in turn, I bet you they have a lot of no-shows.
The price for each lightsaber is $249.99 plus tax. So like what you said, it'd be like $270 with the tax amount. Finally, in Hollywood Studios news, May 4th treats have been announced. Around Hollywood Studios. So, visitors can look forward to trying new offerings such as the non-alcoholic Jettison juice and the Moss Berry biscuit, which includes ube and matching icing. These items will be available at selected locations around the park, including ABC Commissary and Dockside Diner, with mobile ordering options to ease access. Did you see Dockside Diner changed its menu? It's now all hot dogs.
Really?
Yeah. I love a good Disney hot dog. So
me too.
There will also be mobile ordering options for easy access. Additionally, Disney Springs will feature exclusive treats like the Stormtrooper Petite Cake at Emirates Patisserie. Here's the full 2024 May 4th treat lineup at Walt Disney World. Hollywood Studios, ABC Commissary, Backlot Express, Pizza Rizzo, and Rosie's All-American Cafe. The Jettison Juice, which is Minute Maid Lemonade and Watermelon, served with a glow cube. Docking Bay 7 will have the Moss Berry Biscuit, which is a biscuit topped with ube and matcha icing, ube micro sponge cake, sprinkles, and dehydrated blueberries. You know what ube is?
I don't.
It's like a purple yam.
Okay.
But it's sweet, and they make like, Rachel makes cupcakes with it sometimes.
Hmm.
Or like full-on cakes. It's good. It's purple. Dockside Diner, currently available through May 31st, with mobile ordering available. the Princess of Alderaan Shake, which is a salted caramel shake topped with whipped cream, edible glitter, and mini cinnamon rolls. Doesn't say there better be cinnamon rolls in this thing.
Right.
The Milk Stand is going to have the Polystarch Puff Bread, which are croissants topped with blue and green milk cracklin, served with yuzu passion fruit coconut dipping sauce. It's going to be available through May 31st, starting on May the 4th. Rosie's All-American Cafe, May 4th through the 31st, will have the Mustafarian Puff, which is a red cream puff with cookies and cream custard filling topped with chocolate cream cookie crumbs. That sounds great. You just have to say cookies and cream, and I'm in, basically.
I'm with you. Agreed.
Oasis Canteen, Sunshine Day Bar, Tune In Lounge, and the Hollywood Brown Derby Lounge from May 4th to 31st will have the Cosmic Rum Punch, which is Parrot Bay Coconut Rum, Bacardi Superior Rum, Pineapple Juice, Minute Maid Lemonade, Grenadine, and a Glow Cube with a lightsaber churro. The Anaheim Produce Grand Avenue Market and Churro Cart, available May 4th and 5th, and at the Anaheim Produce Grand Avenue and the Market, and from May 4th to 31st at the Churro Cart, will be a lightsaber churro with churro sauce. Now, the lightsaber churro is a churro, one colored red, one colored blue, and they come in like a little lightsaber sleeve. Like,
yeah,
to
I always
be the
that
handle.
Really cool.
Yeah, it's cute. Amaret's Patisserie. We'll have the Stormtrooper Petite Cake, which is layers of chocolate chiffon, vanilla bean mousse, dark chocolate ganache, and cherries. The Ganacherie will have the Death Star Ganache Square, which is ruby chocolate with 65% dark chocolate, and the Rebellion Ganache Square, which is white chocolate blended with dragon fruit enrobed in dark 65% chocolate. There will also be a Salvage Stormtrooper Helmet Bucket, limit 2 per person per transaction, no discount supply. It's a popcorn bucket of a discarded Stormtrooper helmet. It's all like beaten up and cracked. At first I was like, ooh, cool. And then I like looked at it and I'm like, oh, I'll first order Stormtrooper helmet.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, no, I'm not getting it. Do not want. If it was like an actual Stormtrooper helmet, I would be like, yes, okay, cool. I'll get it. But it's not. Okay. Finally, we've got some outside Walt Disney World news this week. Universal Studios Orlando will be opening two space-themed restaurants as part of its major expansion.
Okay.
Universal Orlando Resort is expanding its hotel offerings with the addition of two new properties, Universal Stella Nova Resort and the Universal Terra Luna Resort, opening January 21st and February 25th, 2025, respectively. These hotels, developed by the Universal Creative Team in partnership with Lowe's Hotels and Company, will offer guests a unique lodging experience themed around outer space with a total of 1,500 guest rooms. Starting at a price of $147 per night for stays of 4 nights or more, these resorts aim to provide an affordable yet immersive experience close to Universal attractions. So now the rooms look really cool. Like, I'm looking at the Stella Nova room and it looks like it looks out into space. And, you know, just very like clean looking room.
Nice.
The Universal Stella Nova Resort is designed with a calming theme of teals and purples reflecting the vastness of the universe, while the Universal Terra Luna Resort features an earthy palette of green and golds, inviting guests to explore unknown planetary environments. Both resorts will have double queen guest rooms equipped with spaceship styled windows, catering to guests seeking a space themed retreat. I wonder if it was like worded like that, like on purpose. Like, we're catering to those who want a space-themed retreat that don't want to pay $6,000 a person.
Yeah.
this really kind of feels like they're offering something like akin to like what the Star Wars hotel experience should have been, which is just a space-themed hotel, as opposed to the ridiculousness that they did. For dining, each resort will have its own set of Now, I don't know if the rooms open up into space or if that's just the picture that I like, it might just be the picture that I saw. I don't know if that's actually a thing. They might have just like done a nighttime picture or something. For dining, each resort will have its own set of cosmic inspired food and beverage outlets, including quick service restaurants, pool bars and grills, and lobby bars offering specialty and classic cocktails. Guests can also enjoy a range of amenities such as resort style pools, fitness centers, games and recreation rooms, and Universal Orlando Resort Stories. Guests of these hotels will benefit from exclusive theme park perks like early park admission to certain Universal attractions, complimentary shuttle bus service, and more. Both resorts are conveniently located near Universal Epic Universe and other Universal Orlando theme parks, enhancing the overall guest experience. Man, Universal is coming out swinging next year. Swinging.
Let's hope it's good.
I do. I really do. All right. Well, that does it for the news this week.
All right.
All right. So we're going to take, we are going to get started with our e-ticket attraction of the week. It is trip report time. So more Two Men in the Mouse coming at you right after this.
Hey, listeners, this is Mark Daniel, and you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse.
Folks, our Disney trips are have always been an important part of Two Men and the Mouse. The show was originally conceived as a way to kind of pass the time and get excited for our own trips. That is why we love our trip report shows here on Two Men and the Mouse. And you guys love them too, one of our most popular segments. Now, normally, Walt Disney World trip reports are Peter Mandel talking about the Mandel family trips to Walt Disney World, these epic, long-term European style vacations sometimes.
I wish.
This week it's gonna be a little different. It's my trip report, and as a local I kind of experience and visit Disney differently than people traveling into Orlando. So this week for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Pete and I are discussing Kev's Disney trip report from Walt Disney World 2024. I forgot what year it was for a second. So this was my birthday trip. And okay. it was kind of put together at the last minute. Where all of a sudden Rach was like, hey, I want to let's go to Disney for your birthday and stay at a resort. And so we stayed at the Coronado Springs Resort and we did some cool things. So I figure we'll go through it, day by day. You can ask any questions that you want to ask. And
I haven't stayed there in many years. So I'm very curious.
Yeah. I mean, look, the resort was fantastic. It might be one of my new favorites. It really, really, we had a preferred room. So it was kind of close-ish to what used to be the main lobby and isn't anymore, but it's still the food court area. So I'll start at the beginning. So we left, we dropped the dog off at his doggy hotel, which I take him to this place right by our apartment. Taz loves it. It's because he gets, he's not really a super social dog. He doesn't bark at other dogs. He's not aggressive to other dogs. He's just kind of shy and he wants to sniff them for a minute and then go do his own thing after that. He doesn't have an aggressive bone in his body. He's just kind of shy and anxious all the time. So when he goes here, he gets his own little hotel. He doesn't stay in a kennel or anything. He gets his own hotel room. He gets a 4x4 open air suite. Which we bring his bed from home. He has his food from home. He has all of his stuff from home. And he just kind of has his own hotel room for those days. And
does he have a TV?
No, but beggars, choosers, whatnot. They have must do boarding with Stacy the collie on there. what you must do is stay in this hotel room and eat your food and sleep in your own bed. And not bite anyone. So we did that and we got in the car. We drove over to, Disney property. We were early but we were going to have a big lunch. we had lunch just off Disney property off of 535, which is you go out through Hotel Plaza Boulevard, you make a left, which is where the McDonald's and the Buffalo Wild Wings and all those things used to be. And now that's all gone.
Okay.
But then you go down there, you go past the Denny's, you make a right, and there's a plaza in there, and they've got a place that I love called K-Pot, which is where we went. K-Pot is Korean barbecue and hot pot. And God, it was so good. It was so, so good. We ate so much. We had to roll out of there. I could not say enough good things about how good K-Pot is. There's a K-Pot in Jersey there, and we have a couple of them in Orlando now. There's one by Universal, there's one by Disney, and there's starting to be a few over kind of on my side of town. And I won't bore you guys too much with the K-Pot stuff, but it was just really, really good. Hot pot, Korean barbecue, beef bulgogi to die for. Rachel was manning the grill because she likes to do that when we go to Korean barbecue. Really, really good stuff. Korean barbecue. If you've never done Korean barbecue and hot pot before, folks, you got to do it. It's so much fun. Yes, you're grilling your meat yourself, but it's all you can eat. They just keep bringing it to you. It's excellent.
Now, is K-Pot is this a franchise or is that just a style of?
No, it's a franchise now, I believe.
Okay.
Because, yeah, there's There's one on Route 18 in New Jersey in East Brunswick. And that was the one that I used to go to. It was the first Korean barbecue I'd ever gone to. And so when I moved down here, I was like, oh, there's K-pot style places down here. And then they actually opened up a K-pot. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I didn't realize it was like a, like, I think they started in Jersey and now they're starting to expand. And Orlando was the place where they chose to expand, which makes sense.
Just like Kevin.
Yeah, exactly. Me and K-pot have a lot. That's what the K in K-pot stands for. You think it stands for Korean. It doesn't. So our room, while we're at K-pot, our room is ready. I did the mobile check-in. The room is ready. We have the room number. So we get there, and but we need to change something, or we need to let them know about Rachel's allergies for the Animal Kingdom food tour thing that we got going on Sunday. So we stop by the lobby anyway. Now, the lobby used to be by, like, you know, where the food court is and all that stuff. It's not anymore. Now the lobby is in the tower, the DVC tower.
Okay.
So we stopped in there. We took care of what we had to take care of. Then we got in the car. We went to our room. Room was ready. It was fine. Opened right up with the Magic Band. I loved this room. King bed, you know, prime location in the casita area. Beautiful shower with like the shower head that like goes over your head. So it feels like rain falling on you.
Yep.
Loved that. Have you used the Hey Disney thing that they have now?
I have not.
Okay. No. So it's interesting. Like, we didn't really use it much, but it's basically like a virtual assistant. It's like a Siri or Alexa or, you know, Google Home or something like that. But you say, Hey Disney, and you can do things like order new towels to your room. I was hoping it could do things like turn the TV on, but it can't do that.
Okay.
So, you know, playing around with the services in the room, using the Hey Disney, setting it up, making sure it recognizes your voice. You could set your wake up call with it so that like the whole room hears it. It's instead of a phone call, it'll just come on the Hey Disney.
What is the wake up call?
I mean, it could be any of the characters being like, it's the time to get up, you know, like,
okay. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. You could say like, Hey Disney, tell me a joke, and it'll tell you a joke. I did like a whole video using the Hey Disney. So maybe we'll go through it on Patreon. But so now the TV has like the interface on the resort TV is completely different now too. First of all, it has your name on the TV now, like the cruise ship does. But also you're able to, everything's like on demand. You can go to the live TV, but like all of like the must do Disney stuff is all like on demand. So you can like skip around with it. There's a Josh Tomorrow welcome video, which I thought was interesting. Then you can connect your device to the TV also. Like you can connect your phone or your iPad, and it uses a Google Chromecast to cast like your Netflix or your Disney Plus or anything like that, which I think is, I loved that. I would have loved it more if it worked.
I was just going to say, we did that, and I think we spent about 90 minutes trying to get it to work so we could stream a 30-minute show.
Yeah. So it worked at first. Like, we were watching Scrubs, like, you know, just like sitting there hanging out at night, and then it would just suddenly not work. Like, it would stop working. And then I would, like, fight with it for, like, 20 minutes. And then it would work again for, like, 15 minutes, then not work again. And finally, we decided to stop doing it. So if Disney could actually get this service to work, it would be great. The worst thing, though, is that, like, it would, whenever it would cut out, it would go right to the Josh Tomorrow video. So, like, the sight of Josh Tomorrow, like, already annoys me. And, like, now...
He was the one.
So he's like, no, you can't watch Scrubs, even though it's on Disney Plus.
Right.
Which is still... Seeing all the Hulu stuff on Disney Plus is still so weird to me. Like seeing like My Hero Academia or Scrubs or, you know, things like that. Even though I believe Scrubs is technically a Disney show. You know, it was on NBC, but I believe it was made by Disney.
Right.
So anyway, we get all our stuff together from the room. We take a walk around the resort. We see the vault, the Mayan pyramid pool. We go to the food court and we get our resort refillable mugs, which I have not gotten in years and years and years because, you know, my other trips have all been like a day, you know, like 2 days, something like that. This was going to be, you know, three whole nights. So we were like, yeah, let's get the mugs and get our money's worth out of them. So the mugs were like $20-something in total, like for each one. Like I think it was like $21.99.
$21.99, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, the mug was nice. It was I do miss the resort specific mugs, but you know, I've come to terms with the fact that those don't exist anymore and have not for many years. But the I like when we bought the mugs, I was like, I said to the guy, like, don't you need to know like how long we're staying? Like, don't you need to like scan our room? He goes, oh no, they're just for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like no matter what, you get it for 2 weeks. And I was like, huh. After we leave here, we could feasibly bring these mugs like with us to the parks and like go to Epcot, but then like leave through the International Gateway and like go to Beach Club and like fill them up at Beach Club because they work at like every resort.
I mean, you could. I think they're willing to let you if you're willing to do that much to get a small cup of a beverage. I think they'll let
you. Save $5 on a
No,
we didn't end up doing that though. We haven't been back since. But I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool that's how that works. I don't think we ate. No, we didn't eat anything because we were still so full from K-Pot. So that night we went to Hollywood Studios. So we went back to the room. We got everything together. We went to Hollywood Studios. Didn't really ride anything. I'm trying to think if we rode anything. I don't think. No, because we went to Fantasmic. For the first time.
Oh, cool.
The new Fantasmic. Nice. So I will say we got there like really early. Like we got there like an hour and a half early. And like now, remember you used to have to like stand in the line before they would let you in?
Yeah.
Not anymore. You just go and you sit down.
Oh, wow.
So we were able to like sit down and relax. I got, I like to get a snack. I always like to get snacks when we go to Fantasmic. So I got some popcorn. I got, I think I got like a hot dog and a drink. And
assuming you ate that way early. Like I go to the movies, I like to save my snack for the actual movie.
I know. Like I always get mad at myself when I'm like already full of popcorn by the time the previews are like halfway over. I ate it all before the show started. I mean, during Fantasmic is not really the time you want to be eating. So Fantasmic started, and my first thought was this is exactly the same. Because most of it is exactly the same.
Right.
But then we get to the part where it should have been the Pocahontas boring part. And they do still have a Pocahontas section, but it's like actually Pocahontas. And she like sings up. And she like sings up there. I think she sings Colors of the Wind. But then it's the new stuff started. And they do the Mulan section. And so the Mulan section was actually choreographed by the Wallum Temple here in Orlando, where I took Kung Fu lessons. And was choreographed by my teacher, Sifu Mimi Chan, who was the body model for Mulan in the movie. So it was cool. Like Mulan actually like choreographed it. And so I'm watching them do like the stick form, like because they're fighting with staffs, like with sticks. And I'm like, oh, yeah, those are all the moves from like basic stick form, which like I learned and did. So it was kind of cool to see. They do that. Then there's an Aladdin section. Where they do like one jump and he's like, he does like, basically it's like all of the effects that used to happen during the John Smith section. Like Aladdin is now swinging across instead of John Smith.
Right. That's so cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there was a Frozen. I think there was Frozen. Yeah. I think there was a Frozen section. I think she did Into the Unknown. Why can't I remember that? That's weird that I can't remember that. There was a Moana section though, and what I thought was cool with the Moana section, she actually like goes in the, like not like fully like immersed in the water, but she stands in the water.
Okay.
While she sings, and so yeah, that middle section is now really cool. They still do this stupid weird looking snake. I don't like that snake.
I know.
The snake just looks so lame. And look, is it just me or like when. Like, I should think that it's super cool that it's the only time we've ever gotten, like, a live-action Mickey in, like, the classic Mickey gear with just the pants. But it looks weird.
Yeah, I know.
It looks really weird. So, and then, you know, the dragon is pretty much the same, except for the fact that the water did not light on fire.
Okay.
Yeah, there was no like water lighting on fire thing, which I thought was a little like, you know, sad. But the finale is the same. Steamboat Willie comes out, and then we get Sorcerer Mickey on top of the mountain with the fireworks. It was good. The only thing that stunk during this entire thing was Rachel has never seen Fantasmic in any form before. I mean, if she has, it was like as a really little kid. And the problem was we had like these tween girls behind us and they were just singing everything like at the top of their lungs. And I just want to be like, come on, stop. Like, because like I used to be like I used to do like little side comments and stuff like that during rides. And then one of my friends said something to me one time and it really stuck where she was like, someone's doing this for the first time.
Of course. Yeah.
And like, you know, they don't want to hear your jokes. They want to hear like the thing. And I was like, wow, that's like, you forget that sometimes, I think. And like, that's why I can't stand people who sing along. I can't stand people who talk along with the ghost host. I can't like, I just like, I know the words too, but I'm not going to do them because I want to hear them do.
Listen, it's always my gripe about concerts. And I can't imagine someone who spent like $1,000 on tickets for Taylor Swift just to have the people behind you like scream sing the entire concert.
Yeah,
I mean it happens almost every show I go to and I'm like, man, I'm like, it always bums me out a little bit.
Do you like concerts?
I've been going to more of recent, I guess, that post-COVID like everyone going out kind of thing.
Yeah,
but it's different, you know. At this age I have to make sure I have a seat. I don't want to, you know, be general admission anymore.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I've gone to a fair share recently.
I hate concerts so much. It is just not my scene. Oh my God. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I've gone to a couple of Bruce concerts and they've been fun because I go with my family, like, you know, but it's not my scene. I don't like when I go to see something, I think I've talked about this on the show before. I am not a get up and stand and pump my arms and cheer wildly kind of person. I am a sit in my seat and watch person.
I mostly am too, to be honest with you.
And you know, the fact that like if I stayed in my seat, I would have not been able to see anything. And you know, like my dad's like you know, screaming, and like, you know, my mom's like screaming, and the whole everyone around me, and I'm just like, this is not me. Like even at sporting events, like for a team that I like. Like, you know, like if I were to go to a hockey game and watch the Lightning and they scored, the most I would probably do is like go, yes. Like,
right. Yeah, I'm actually the same way.
Yeah. I was like that at wrestling shows. I was like, people that go with me to these things, they think that I'm not having fun because they just sit there. And I try to warn people now. I'm like, listen, we're going to go in there and you're going to think that I'm not having fun. I want to assure you I'm probably having fun. But like, this is how I have fun as a spectator. I spectate.
Yeah, I'm not demonstrative in that way. I mean, it's not. I mean, as a kid, I was very involved at concerts, but now I'm just like, let me just kind of enjoy this and chill a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So then, excuse me, it's early. Fantasmic ends, and we do the Fantasmic shuffle to you know, moving with that sea of humanity out of the theater. So yeah, theater, we go back to the hotel, we sleep. Well, we get back to the hotel and we walk to the food court. And what became my nightly routine was we fill up our cups and I get a pizza.
Okay.
They had these little pizzas there and they would come in the garlic knot. And man, these were good little pizzas.
I love it.
Little personal pizza. I get a pepperoni pizza every night. I loved it. And, you know, I would fill my drink and I would drink it while waiting for the pizza. And then I would fill it again before we left. Just got to make sure that I get at least $20 worth of, you know, drinks. On this. Oh, so then we go to bed, we wake up, and then the next morning we go right back to the food court. We had dessert. Rach got Mickey waffles. I got like eggs and, you know, all that good stuff. Eggs and sausage and I got an egg and sausage sandwich.
Was it good?
I loved it. It was really good. The eggs were like just runny enough where it's like the way I like them. Like I don't like dry eggs, but I also don't like, you know, liquid eggs. So like it was like the perfect consistency of egg, the perfect amount of cheese. I like a sausage patty. Like, you know, I don't like the Disney bacon. It's so thin. It's so thin and it's so like well done that I'm just kind of like, it's not like crispy. It's almost like rubbery.
Yeah. I would like it if it was crispy.
Yeah. Yeah, I like crispy bacon. Like I like bacon like burnt a little bit. But yeah, so you know, Rach had her Mickey waffles. I had my sandwich. then we were all ready for, I made the mistake of putting coffee in my refillable mug, because then it was like, I had to really wash it out like a lot to get rid of the coffee smell in it. Then we went to the Magic Kingdom and we decided to take the bus. So Rachel wanted to take the bus and I was like, no, I'm not gonna, I don't want to take the bus. And she was like, oh, would you rather like, you know, take the boat and the monorail and all that stuff? And I was like, fine. All right. You're right. You know, maybe the Magic Kingdom is like the exception to my rule here. So we took the bus to Magic Kingdom, you know, typical Magic Kingdom stuff. We walked around, we did a couple rides. And then we ate lunch at Liberty Tree Tavern.
Oh, nice.
Yes. They no longer do the prefix menu for lunch. I'm sorry, they no longer do the a la carte menu is what I meant.
Okay, yes,
they just do the all you can eat family style for everything now,
and that makes sense.
Yeah, so we did that. We had the turkey, the pot roast, the pork, the mac and cheese, all that good stuff. So Liberty Tree is, I think, the best like place that isn't the Crystal Palace to eat at Magic Kingdom. So
yeah, it's definitely up there.
Yeah, I like it more than Be Our Guest.
I do too at this point.
Yeah. I just Be Our Guest with that prefix menu. It's
too much.
Yeah. It is way too much. Like, just, well, let me order what I want to order. Like, if I don't want a dessert and an appetizer, like, just let me get an entree. But remember when Be Our Guest was like impossible to get? Like, I think that prefix menu has kind of scared a lot of people off.
Oh, I don't think it's that. I just think time went by. I think Be Our Guest works out perfectly for people who are going to Disney and they're like, oh my gosh, a Beauty and the Beast restaurant, Our Guest. Well, and that's who they get. But like return customers, listen, I've done it probably 5 times. I'm good. I don't ever need to do it ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. So we leave Magic Kingdom. We take the bus back to the resort like midday, probably maybe like 2-3 o'clock. No, a little earlier than that even. I think it might have even been like noon or like one. No. I'm trying to think, probably around 2 o'clock. Yeah, because we ate at Liberty Tree at like 1. So we take the bus back, and now the bus is packed for some reason. Middle of the day, I guess it's people going back to the resort with their kids or whatever. So now we're standing on the bus, and so now I'm giving Rachel the suck because her other thing was like it's never going to be crowded. It's the middle of the day. We're coming back early. You're not going to deal with the end of the night rush. And now I'm giving her the side eye, and I'm like,
right,
bus, huh? This is great. And she's like, you know, we would just, if we didn't take the bus, we'd just be on the boat right now. I said, yeah, you know what I'd be doing at the boat? Sitting on that upper level. So we take the bus back, we get back to, so now with the way the resort is laid out, I mean, our stop was the first stop. When we left on the bus, we were the first ones that got picked up. So we had to go around to all the others. And weirdly enough, the tower is the last stop, which I guess it's the last stop because you just get on the bus and go to the parks. But then when you come back, like, you have to go around the whole resort before you're back.
And when you're going to, the bus fills up on the way to you.
Yeah, it does. So, we got back, we changed, we went to the pool for a bit. And this was, honestly, this is my favorite thing I did the entire trip. I know it sounds weird, but I liked just sitting by the pool, reading a book, going in the pool. It was a really nice pool. I didn't go down the slide or anything like that, but I did go in the hot tub. So I get in the hot tub, and there's a bunch of other people in there. It's a big hot tub. Among them are 5 kids, maybe, and they are throwing a ball to each other in the hot tub and just being loud and obnoxious. And I'm sitting there, and I'm getting annoyed because the hot tub is not a place for play. The hot tub is a place to relax. It's a place to sit there and have polite, pleasant conversation and just unwind. Now they're throwing this beach ball, and now this beach ball almost hits me. And I'm getting more and more annoyed. And then someone who I believe is a parental unit of one of the children walks in and goes, hey guys, maybe don't like throw a ball around in the hot tub. There are people here. I'm thinking to myself, oh, thank God for this guy. And the kids go, no, go away. And he leaves. And I'm like, wait, come back. it's like my hero arrived to the Dragon's Lair and got instantly burned to ash.
Yeah, it was like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah. So then, like, maybe like 10 minutes later, this lady walks up. Now, I have no idea if this lady is involved with these children or not. But she comes up and she's like, hey, guys, you know, maybe the hot tub is not the place for this. Maybe you can go play ball in the pool. And they're like, no, go away. And she's like, oh, no. Give me the ball. And they're like, the ball like went out of the hot tub and she picked it up and she was like, get out of the hot tub and I'll give you the ball. He goes, okay, give me the ball and we'll get out of the hot tub. And she goes, I don't think so. And I literally applauded. Like, me and a couple of the other adults in the hot tub applauded this woman. And I looked at her and I said, you are my hero. Like, you have ridden in, you, that was cap on your left. Like, the portals right. opened and right. this lady came out to save the hot tub from these beastly children. Yeah, the kids left. They took the ball. They took their ball and went home. I was to the point where I was like, if the ball came to me one more time, I was going to take it and throw it. But I didn't want to be that guy. I didn't want to be like right. Biff. Because I'm like, oh, then I'm Biff Tannen in Back to the Future 2. Like, remember when, like, give us our ball, Biff.
Up on the roof.
Yeah, go get it. But people, hear my voice as you know, coming to you as another Disney fan and person who likes to enjoy the resort. Your kids, I'm all for your kids playing in the pool. That's what the pool is for. It's for rowdy play, splash, play Marco Polo, throw beach ball, do whatever you want to do. The hot tub is not the place to allow your children to play. It is a small, contained area where people go specifically to get away from the rowdy. Okay? I mean, look, I'm not one of those people that's like, kids don't belong in the hot tub, period. Because there were lots of very well-behaved kids in there with their parents. And that's fine. Do not let your child play in the hot tub. Don't do it. It's not what it's for. And you're annoying other people.
Yeah, not like that. That's like, not cool.
Yeah. Have whatever conversations you want in there, you know, like, laugh, joke, whatever. Like, throwing a ball that can hit other people, like, that's not okay. Not okay. But. So, we leave the pool. We go, we shower, we get changed. We go to Epcot. So, I think we had festival food. Yes, we did. I'm trying to remember what I had. I had the pineapple spicy hot dog.
Oh, how was that?
It's good. I mean, I always like it. Rach got something with I think she got like an avocado toast, and then she got these like little cinnamon bites as like a dessert thing. So now we're there for a specific reason. We are there to watch Luminous,
right?
The Story of Us. And so I'm like, I know where I want to watch. I like to watch from Future World right in the center, like where that stage is where they would do like the chew and stuff like that normally.
Yep.
I'm like, that's where I want to watch. But I remember a time where that was like the Illuminations like dinner package location. So, you know, there are cast members over there. And I'm like, hey, like, can anyone just kind of like sit here? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. I'm like, okay. So we parked it and we sat there for like over an hour to wait for the show right up front. Nobody in front of us, just us and the World Showcase Lagoon. And I'm like, this is going to be perfect. And it was. We sat there. We played. I brought my Switch. So we were like, put it on low volume and we were playing Super Smash Brothers, like just sitting there, having like eating our like little festival food. And it was great. And then the show started and it's good. Like, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing in the middle, like the big rig in the middle, it's so like advanced and complex, like, but you don't realize this during the day because it's not like, you know, the way the horrible harmonious stuff was. Right. It was really, really good. And they do so much stuff with like dancing water in this, like water streams. They like put lights on. So they're like, it's almost like World of Color in a sense. The fireworks were great. The music was great. I mean, Luminous, it was good. Like, it didn't like move me to tears or anything like that. But I mean, I think you lose something with the Epcot fireworks when you don't watch it from Future World.
Huh?
Because like, I feel like the point of it is that you can see all the countries lit up And at one point, like, each country, like, shoots off a firework, like, one at a time, as it says, like, welcome in all of their, like, languages. And so it'll be like, they'll play, like, they'll do, like, a cover of a Disney song in English, and then they'll switch to one of the other languages. So I thought that was interesting. And then the finale was great. Just really, really good. It was a good, good show. So now we've seen two nighttime shows that we had never seen before. And now we leave, you know, we do the Luminous shuffle on the way out, but not nearly as bad as the.
Right. Of course.
And also we're like up all the way up in the front. So I'm like, we don't have to move yet. Cause like, we're not blocking anyone from leaving. We're up in the front. We're the last people. So we can just kind of chill and talk and reflect on what we just saw and let other people, let the crowd kind of like move out, and then we'll move out when it's not as crowded. So it's always kind of my strategy. Get back to the hotel, watch the little Scrubs, or at least try to while the TV skits is out. Next morning, wake up, shower. Once again, breakfast at the at the food court. Same thing. She got Mickey waffles. I got the breakfast sandwich. And now it's time for the Animal Kingdom. And this is my actual birthday. It's Sunday.
Right.
And now we've got a big thing that we're doing today, right? We're doing Savor the Savannah. So, wait, what did we do? We did something earlier in the day, because Savor the Savannah wasn't until like 4 something. We slept in. That was it. We slept in.
Okay.
So, by the way, Saturday, we got back to our room after Magic Kingdom, and I was like, there's something wrong here. Because, like, our room was still, like, unmade. Like, the bed was unmade. Towels were on the floor. So I call, like, the front desk. I'm like, hey, like, I don't know if, like, we stayed in the room too long or whatever, but housekeeping, like, missed our room. They're like, oh, no, it's only every other day. And I'm like, what? Like, when did that happen? COVID, I assume?
Yeah, that's pretty much when it came back, it was just every other day.
These rooms are not cheap.
I know.
If I stayed at a motel on iDrive, I would have had maid service every day. I could, you know, I can go to Universal and get early entry and express pass and probably pay less and have turn down service every day if I stayed at a Universal resort.
The difference is you'd have to go to Universal every day.
Yes, but that gap is rapidly closing between Universal and Disney. It is rapidly closing. And when Epic Universe comes out, it is going to be smaller than ever.
We'll see.
Universal is starting to give you more things, and Disney is just taking things away and telling you that it's for you. We know that you hate coming back to a made bed. We know that the stress of having to get out of the room so that the mousekeeping service can come in every day is just too much for the average person. So we're going to let you come back to a filthy room. You can make your own. We know that you know exactly the way you like your bed to be made. So we're going to let you make your own bed. Do, 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 do. So mad. I was like, because we paid a lot for that room. Like, it's preferred room. You know, right. Like, I was not happy. Because part of the niceness of it is, like, coming back to, like,
of course,
you know, the pristine room, the towel animals, that's part of vacation. And it was part of the magical experience that you used to get at a Disney resort. So anyway, I digress. Following day, we get to Animal Kingdom. We did Dinosaur, which we have not done in a while.
Have to.
Yeah, we haven't done Dinosaur in forever, dude. It's been a long time. So we do Dinosaur. And then it's time for Savor the Savannah. So we go, we check in. The safari tours are done over on the over by the entrance of the safari. There's like a table off to the left hand side before you approach the safari. So we checked in there. They gave us the spiel. They gave us our name tags, and we just sat and waited. There were 12 people in total on the tour. So then our tour guide shows up. And she kind of walks us through what the day is going to be like. And then we go through like a backstagey kind of, we go through Rafiki's Planet Watch through a backstage like area to get to like the special safari car that you ride in for this.
Okay. Yep.
So this is a much more relaxed safari. Our guide is like the host of the tour guide, and she is giving us much more detailed explanations. She's mentioning these animals by name. She's giving us stories about them and like the things that they do. She knew who each giraffe was and was giving us like very, like she pointed out the one giraffe who was the one that like made the big stop on the Secrets Magic of the Disney's Animal Kingdom on Disney Plus.
Right.
So she pointed that one out. She pointed out like which ones were like that giraffe's kids, her favorite giraffe. And then all of a sudden the safari line kind of stops. So apparently the wildebeests got down in the flamingo pool and they were trying to lure them back. So, okay. But up drives one of the animal caretakers, who works with the giraffes, and she stopped and she stood in the back of her truck and she talked to us about like her day and about the giraffes and about how she takes care of them. And we got to ask her questions. We learned that, you know, like those chains that you ride over from each mm-hmm. area. I always thought they were maybe like had like a charge to them. They don't. Apparently just the chain itself is enough to make it so that the animals will not cross it. So once we finished over there and it started moving again, we got to the food area. So as we walk in, we met the guy who was going to walk us through the cuisine of Africa, and he might have been the whitest human being I've ever seen in my life, but he knew his stuff. So we get in and I see this like almost like looks like a charcuterie plate, right? Like it's, you know, there's some cheeses, there's some meats, like very appetizer-y things. There's a little bit of shrimp. There's, you know, some bread, some pita bread and stuff like that, and things to dip it in. And I'm like, oh, cool. They brought out appetizers before the food. That's the food.
Oh,
that was the food. And okay. It's not even like when you guys finish it, like we'll bring out more. Like it was just like that platter, and like, so you felt bad like taking more than like one piece of like deli meat. The shrimp was better than I thought it would be. I didn't think I'd like it because it had like a lot of like it looked like it was covered in curry or something like that, but
right,
it didn't taste like, you know, like curry, like Indian food, or because I can't do Indian food. I actually had like a drink because it was included also. So I had this it was like this honey beer. That was actually like local Florida. It was like local Florida. Apparently it was like, they were like, oh, you might be wondering what this beer is doing here. Cause everything else was like from Africa. And they were like, this is like a, you know, a brewery that's local that does a lot of work with conservation. So we support them. So I had that beer. That was good. Then we got to go over to this like overlook area that overlooks like the lions and the zebras and the rhinos and all that stuff. So we got to see them, take some pictures, ask some more questions. Then we had dessert. For dessert, I had this, and again, it was like they only put out like a few of each dessert, so like you felt like it was technically all you could eat, but you didn't want to take more than one,
right?
So I took this little cup that was like, it was like a s'mores cup. It was like little, it was like graham cracker crumbles with like chocolate and like marshmallow. It was good. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
All in all, though, the food was underwhelming. Like,
that's a bummer.
I was really expecting it to be like an actual meal instead of like tapas. Right. But it was, you know, which is a word that I did not know before that day. Because I said to Rachel, I was like, this is it? Like, this is the food? And she was like, it's tapas. And I'm like, okay, that's not a word that I know. And she explained to me what that was. And I was like, okay. So we got back in the truck. We finished the safari. We saw the lions. We stopped by the rhinos, and one of the younger rhinos came up and licked the side of the truck. And we all thought it was hysterical, but the driver and the tour guide were not happy because they said that like if an animal touches the truck in any way, shape, or form, they have to report it.
Right.
I get the feeling that that's not a good thing to have to report. And I don't know what happens because I'm sure there's no like negative repercussions for the animal, but they definitely were like not happy that they had to report it. Right. So, yeah, we get to the pygmy goats and all that stuff. And Yeah, there was goat cheese in the thing that we had. So I was like, thank you for the cheese, pick me goats. The goats were being very vocal.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah, it was
cool.
Yeah, it was interesting. So we finished the safari. We leave back the way we came, back through Rafiki's Planet Watch. And that was it. That was Save of the Savannah.
All right.
It wasn't bad. It was pretty fun. So then we leave Animal Kingdom. We go back. We just relax in the room. And the next morning we had breakfast and checked out.
I mean, it sounds like a pretty good trip for a weekend
trip.
It
was. It was a good trip. I had a lot of fun. It was a good birthday. It was, you know, was it as good as the cruise? No.
Right.
Like the cruise we did for my birthday last year? No. Next year, I think she wants to, she was saying that for my 40th, we should do Disneyland. And I'm like,
totally
yeah.
Should.
Yeah, I'm like, we should, but we could also do a Disney cruise. So, but we're doing a Disney cruise in November. So it would be for our honeymoon. So it would be like November right. And then another one in April would be like weird. So yeah, we'll probably do Disneyland next year. All in all, great time. I had a good time. The only thing that I was upset about was the turn down service thing, which I know is like the ultimate first world problem. But here's the thing. If I was staying at the Holiday Inn and they were like turn down services every other day, I'd be like, yeah, I get it. Like, you get what you pay
right.
for. You get what you pay for is the point here. You pay a right. lot of money for these rooms. Even the value resorts are a decent chunk of change for a lot of people. Like, you should be getting more than what you're getting, I think. And there, and it is more of just like, they don't, no more Magical Express, no more Fast Pass. They just are taking things away and making it more expensive. And it was very evident. And yeah, just, but now, so I will say though, if you, even though like they're not doing turndown service every day, you could send for more towels and they'll bring you more towels, right. like things like that. But yeah, so that was it. That was the trip.
All right. Yeah.
Good,
nice.
It was a good trip. Anything you wanted to ask about it? Anything?
I feel like you covered it pretty well. I do love that you had like a go-to from like the food court-ish area.
Yeah.
I've had trips like that. I can remember one time at Riverside, like they had this mahi-mahi sandwich and it was so good. I told Heather, I'm like, I'm going to get this every night. And mm-hmm. I did. It was delicious.
Yeah. Every night when we got back from the parks, we went there to fill up our drinks and I got a pizza every night. It was awesome. And then usually I'd like finish the pizza like in the morning.
That's great.
Yeah. So, and it, you know, reminds me of like when I used to stay at the resorts back in the day, because remember they used to do the pizza delivery?
Yep.
I used to always get the pizza delivery to the room, but you know, again, that's the thing they probably don't do anymore.
Don't know.
All right. Anything else you wanted to add this week?
No, I feel like this was a nice show.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for Two Men in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. And thanks to our friends over at patreon.com/Two Men in the Mouse. We love having you guys over there. Folks, if you are looking to support our good buddy Peter Mandel, check him out at Rogue Comics over at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Go to roguecomics.com where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you're planning a trip out to any of the Disney properties or Universal or anywhere in the world, our friends over at Wait Me Travel have got you covered. You can talk to them over at, you can email Justin and his team, justin@awaywithmetravel.com or show@awaywithmetravel.com. And that does it for this week. Pete, any closing words?
I'll see you next week, Kev.
All right, we'll see you next week. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.
This has been YDF Media Productions.